Okay, so this is bombshell night. Okay, we are. There's no way. I think I have one more class after this. So there's no way I can fully, if I really could, lay it all on you, like in one or two settings. You would go, what? But. So I'm going to do the best I can. So we have to go back. We have to start where Stephen started, which was with Abraham and the story of Abraham and the things that happened there. And then we'll see if we get any further. Okay. So this is about the fathers. Remember, we've been talking about the fathers. Okay. And again, it's just a major theme, particularly of Stephen's long speech. So starting in Acts chapter 7, and again, you know, we're reading and we'll be reading over many of these scriptures many times, but we'll be doing it because there's so much in here. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 through 53. And Stephen said it this way in relationship to the fathers. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers? See all this father stuff that he's just laying out there? have you not persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Okay, so Peter says it this way, and we've read this one, but in the context of tonight. And let me just say that there are clues in the scriptures I'm reading that are bombshell clues. Okay? So get in the spirit, you know, and ask the Lord to show you, and if he doesn't, I'll show you. Okay, so this is Peter. This is Acts chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was delivered to determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Anybody get a zinger just a little bit in that one? No zingers? All right. So now we're going to hear from God and Stephen. Stephen quoting God. Okay. So this is Acts chapter 7, obviously, verse 30 through 32. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness, this is talking about Moses. When 40 years were expired, there appeared to him, it's just interesting wording apart from what I want to share. When 20 years were expired, it's like, let's check the date. Yeah, this is expired. We're going to do something different. Okay. When 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Any zingers yet? Okay. All right. So let's keep going then. So I am just going to jump into it, okay? First, I'll make this statement. God during all this time, during all of this history, that Stephen is declaring God had a son in his heart. Now, we know that to some degree. I mean, but God did. God had a son that was in his heart. All right, here we go. As a shadow, the godly fathers were a complete failure. They usually chose the wrong son, opposite of what God chose. Okay, so listen to this again then. One of the verses I read, I am the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is how he presented himself. I am the God of the fathers, and all that's being talked about from the beginning of Acts is the failure of the fathers to not acknowledge the son, but another son that was not of God's choosing. All right, so here we go. I just said this, but as a shadow, the godly fathers were a complete failure. They usually chose the wrong son, opposite of what God chose. So in dealing with Abraham, beginning in Acts 7, Stephen starts to set the stance he will have during most of the rest of his declarations. That means that he's going to follow what I just presented to you. He's going to follow a line of that instead of these priests and all this that are attacking him. He doesn't even seem to have that big of a problem with them. He's going to the scriptures and saying, there's been a big failure prior to this. All right. So beginning in Acts 7, Stephen starts to set the stance he will have during most of the rest of his declaration. He begins with Abraham. In order to get his point, we need to look at it in a few, which we need to look at in a few verses in Genesis. So you know these. You can turn if you want. I'll tell you what verses they are. It's not a lot of them. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. All right. So Stephen is starting with Abraham, but he's starting with Abraham in relationship to his father. Okay? And he begins with Abraham. In order to get his point, we need to look at a few verses. So, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Then Genesis 11, verse 31 and 32, and Terah, who is the father of Abraham, Terah took Abram, his son. You're going to see this popping up with the word son and fathers all through Stephen's talk, because this is what he's seen from the Lord, where the failure has, where it lies. Now, I don't know how much that would shock you, but it shocked the fool out of me when the Lord showed me. You know, it's almost like whatever Jewishness I have in me rose up and said, what are you doing attacking Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and, you know, the rest of the fathers? What are you doing? Maybe that's why Peter had two shots at going up before these same people, and they didn't kill him. But Stephen, he's not holding back. And with good reason. Again, if you get the chance, if we get the chance, I will show you this in every one of the fathers. I will show it to you. It's there. He's right. He is correct. Okay, so Genesis 11:31-32. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. See, we missed all that, didn't we? We missed it. There's a real emphasis. But we missed it because we weren't looking for it to be them. They were our heroes. They were the ones who were being persecuted. Right? So you're not going to see it in the natural. You're going to have to see it from the Lord. All right. So, and his son's son and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abraham's wife. See, it doesn't say and Abraham's wife or Abram's wife. It says his son, Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees. By the way, I'm not anti-Semitic. You know, probably if you followed a little bit of the bloodline, you would, you know. The Ur of Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan, and the land will also be a huge factor in all this, but I'm going to try... It's hard to separate them, but I'm going to try to stick with the fathers first and then come back and show the land. Those are the two issues, the two major issues. All right. So to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. All right. So, I wrote down, now let's hear Stephen's take on that most common story, which we've done this before, but this is Acts 3 through 5. Because these wordings, not just here, but what I just read to you, is shouting that God has a problem with the fathers. Okay? And it'll get more clear as we go. All right. Although it got clear instant to me when he went, it's them, not them. You know? You're going, it can't be them. No. Randy, you're wrong. But see, I didn't think it. He showed it to him. So, God, you're wrong. Try that one on for what size. I chihuahua. It's all right. So, and he said, "Get thee out." This is Stephen's take on that. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Okay, that sounds pretty normal, right? And remember that Genesis is the version we're all familiar with. But Stephen's got his own version, and it's not his own. All right. From thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it. Do you see what he's saying here? Do you see what's his name, Stephen? Do you see what Stephen's saying here? He's pointing out things that we would normally not add into our story. And that's where he started getting me. It's like, what is that? And why is that then? Well, that don't sound right. You know what I mean? And so he says, so when his father died, removed him from this land wherein you now dwell, and he gave him none inheritance in the land. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Okay, as far as inheritance-wise. He came into the land, but he didn't get the inheritance. Okay? So, Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And we always think of Isaac. You're not it. Jesus is it. It's going to be a long time, because it was a lot of bad stuff when God's asking you to glorify my son and to be with him and all this kind of stuff, and you just keep going. And so God's going to wait 400 years before they will finally really go in and start possessing the land. Yeah, it's frightening in a certain sense, especially when you think of who this is all going to be relating to. And Abram's just the first. He's just the first. Stephen talks about a bunch of them, doesn't he? All right. So, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And again, we're only thinking of Isaac being born when God's thinking of the son that he has hidden in his heart that he wants. All right. So this little subtitle is called The Failure of Terah, Abram's father. The son he chose was Haran over Abraham. Not Haran the place. Haran, what the place was named after, the son. And we remember we went through the whole thing with Haran, and Terah's not wanting to go into the land because now he wants to be there with, you know, Haran, and that's his son. And so the son he chose was Haran over Abraham. His wrong choice was because Haran had a son. His name's not Lot, right? Meaning that his legacy, Terah's legacy, could go on. His legacy could continue on. But Terah looked down on Abraham because he had no son. But Terah had a son. It was supposed to be Abraham, was supposed to be the chosen son that God wanted. And Terah chooses one that's dead and then starts babying Lot. No wonder Lot was so much trouble later on, right? Okay. So, again, so what was the conclusion to Abraham wanting to be with God and possess the land and bring forth seed there? As we noted, his own father resisted. Okay. So from what I can tell, Stephen is starting with Terah, Abram's father. And then he's going to deal with Abram. And then he's going to deal with Isaac. And so on and so on. And that's why nobody could figure out this story. Because, you know, you would never guess that's what his real point is trying to get to. And then he's dumping the people that are doing this. But he's dumping them in there because they did the same thing to Jesus, the Son, that all the other fathers did. Yeah. All right. So his father resisted. And remember that, because you're going to see that over and over. But things got even worse from there. A famine arises and Abraham himself leaves the land, the ground that God wanted him to stand on. He leaves the land. First of all, he won't go into the land because he's obeying his father, but not God the Father. He won't go into the land. And then all the way, there's all this, you know, trying to get him to move. And when, so, you know, Terah dies. I don't know if God took him and said, look, I'm ready to deal with you, Abram. But he dies. And Abram goes into the land. Yay. But a famine comes along. And God said, I will give you this land. And he leaves the land. He left the word of the Lord. Go leave your father. Go leave your kin. And he's just used to having his own way, regardless of what God says. Although, you know, yes, there are, you know, it's funny because Stephen doesn't mention any of the altars or anything. Now, we know there were altars, and we know that that was good, amen? But God's talking about sons, not altars and not things that are Christian, if you will, you know what I mean? He's talking about, I want my son. And you're not being that. You're not going to, and you're not, you know, if you keep this up, you're not going to end up giving me that either. So, so things got worse. A famine arises and Abraham himself leaves the land, the ground that God wanted him to stand on. That shortens the span of having seed because it will happen in the land. Did y'all hear what I just said? I mean, that shortens the span that you're going to have seed because it, as long as you're down there, the seed is not going to come forth in Egypt. God might have done that fairly quickly. But there's all this stuff going on in this story and in all these stories. Okay. I wrote down, so what if God wanted to bring forth earlier? What if this was one reason among others why Abraham didn't have a son until he got much older? Is it possible? We talked about this last time. Timing is important. Did you know that? God said to Israel when they got finally went through all the wilderness and everything and they got to the promised land and they're right there. And so he sends them in there. He sends the fathers of the tribes into the land to search it out and to go, you know, come back with a report. And really, 2 of 12. You know, they were the only ones. But what we found out is God said, go into the land, and the people started murmuring, and not just the people, but the other guys, the other 10 that went in and saw the fruit, saw the huge fruit and the wonder of the land, were motivated by their fear instead of what God wants. And so, they start murmuring also. And then so God says, well, that's it then. You ain't going in. I'm gonna take, you're all going to die except for these two. And, you know, it's over with. You totally missed my heart. And they said, well, we're sorry. We'll go up right now. We'll go up. We'll do it. We'll do it. And he's going, no. See, I don't know how much we really relate to God in relationship to timing. I know that God, like in a meeting that's sort of a charismatic type of meeting where there are gifts of the Spirit abound or something like that, the Lord can give a person a word and they go, oh God, they start sweating. Me, Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it's just like, I don't know what to do. You know, Lord, you know. And then somebody else gives the word and we go, oh, thank God. Thank God, I'm not going to go to hell after all. Just kidding. But anyway, you know. But there are times that somebody else doesn't get that word too. And what if that word wasn't for you? Usually it's not. Usually it gives it to somebody to give to the congregation. But we're so worried about ourselves. We're so caught up in ourselves. And we're so caught up in our fears, or what will people think if I say it wrong, or what will, you know, da, 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 you know, that we hold back from the Lord. And, you know, I mean, you're in Christ. You're born again. You're on your way to heaven. Okay? I'm not talking about earth opening up and taking you. You're good. But somebody else might have missed what God had for him. And that's just a fact. Folks, being a minister and a pastor, you make a lot of mistakes. You know that? You make a lot of mistakes. One of the killer things for me for the first like 5 years of being a pastor was when I would make mistakes and then see how it negatively affected other people, hurt them or something, you know? And it just, I mean, I would weep and weep and weep because that's not, you know, that wasn't my heart. I would never want to hurt, you know, them, but you know, I still do it. And a lot of times, you know, you will know this. When we do it, we don't always know we're doing it, hurting somebody. That's the deal. So that's what, you know, that's what hurts worse, is hurting people. And, you know, if only I knew, you know, it's that, you know that little phrase, if only I knew, this never would have been said or done or whatever. Anyway, where did I go here? Okay, so what if this was one reason, among others, why Abraham didn't have a son until much older? And then I say this also, though not mentioned in Stephen's, well, I didn't say this part, not mentioned in Stephen's story, we have the same continuous pattern that he refers to, that shortly after returning back to the land, another situation arises with Lot. And, you know, Abraham's holding on to him and he's going, well, you know, family's everything. No, it's not. God is everything. And all families in the whole world, because they're a family, are not going to be with the Lord forever just because they're families. They're not. It's a thing of the heart. And sometimes you have to, you know, I mean, I know a lot. I've over the years, I've known a lot of women in the church that had a back home a husband that was an alcoholic or mean-spirited or hated Jesus or whatever, but somehow they would find their way to the Lord in a church, in church services that they could get in. And it was like, water from heaven. Thank you, Lord, you know. And you knew that they were there at great cost. Well, that's what I'm talking about, type family. God's family. Wanting him above everything else. Anyway, so the situation comes up, another situation, with Lot. Like Abraham's father, his nephew, Lot also chose his own way in the land. Why? Because of strife and because Terah was babysitting Lot because it was Haran's son and didn't even see Abram. But God saw Abram. See, missed the son that God chose, the son that God chose. So, of course, we know he goes up to, ends up in Sodom and Gomorrah and that whole story. So because Abraham went against God again and would not fully disconnect from Lot, Abram's father didn't want to enter the land or what God had given, nor did he want the rest of them to do that, because he wanted to stay there where his precious dead son was. Neither was he called to it. Abraham was called to the land. Abraham, God invited him, come to where I'm going to be. I'm not going to be hanging out a lot over there. I'm going to be here. You know what I mean? It's that same old story, you know. People say, well, why isn't the rain of heaven falling on me? Well, if it's falling over there, quit praying that it'll come to you. Go over there and stand under it. You know? If God breaks out in a wonderful way, and, you know, not just charismatic, but a wonderful way of revealing more of Christ in some local church here, I recommend you go there. I do. I really do. You say you're trying to get rid of us, aren't you? No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, if it's more Jesus, then I want you to get more Jesus. I really do. It doesn't have to come from me. So, I mean, I've got people that don't come to church here because they got offended over this or that. And I pray for those people all the time, that either the Lord meets them where they're at, wherever that's at, or if they ever come back to this church, they don't have to say, you know, something to me about, well, I was wrong or whatever. Just come back to Jesus. Just come be with him wholeheartedly. And it doesn't have to be here, though. So, anyway, so, all right, so the result of not going directly into the land for Abraham was that he never gained the inheritance at that time. Did you hear those words? As a pastor, and having been that for, believe it or not, 50 years, I know, I look 17. I know that God can be dealing with you, that he can be dealing with you, and you slip off, or you don't go with him over here, or you mess up over here, and all of that stuff. But one thing that I've always known, and I've never let go of, and this is a good thing for all ministers, but it's also good just for people who aren't in the ministry per se, and that is that if that person has Jesus in them, regardless of how bad they are, how far off they are, even if they're sad and far off or whatever, that there's always hope, right? Because if they have Christ in them, that's the hope of glory. They haven't left their hope, you know? And you can even say, well, I renounce you, Jesus. He goes, I don't renounce you yet, because you know what I mean? He's got you. He's in there. So remember that. Seriously, it's a good thing to remember, because, you know, when you're at it for a lot of years, you know, you could get discouraged or something. But don't look at the externals. Don't look at what's going on the outside. That doesn't prove anything. What will prove it all is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hold on to your hope, which is what? Yeah, not, oh, I hope I'll be okay. No, that's not the hope. Christ in you is the hope. Praise God. All right. So, the God who spoke to Abraham about the son and this, I'm going to be repeating this through all of the fathers, this one statement. The God, except for it won't be this exact one, it will be molded to them. The God who spoke to Abraham about the Son was and is always none other than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to declare Christ. The Holy Spirit's job is to declare Jesus. That's what he does. That's his main ministry. We say, no, his main ministry is make me shake like this. Well, maybe when you get old, I don't know. But no, that's not it. I mean, if we're ever praying and you shake, that's fine. I don't care. No, I have to watch what I say because I'm not trying to discourage, certain things. I'm trying to lift up the Lord and lift up the Holy Spirit and his primary job. So just imagine if you could start going through your Bible and every time you saw something was like the and God spoke to so-and-so about, something in relationship to Jesus, and you went, that's the Holy Spirit. That rascal's lifting up Christ. Now, I know your thoughts. You think, I do, Well, the one thing that is not forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So, Randy, you just called him a rascal. And I'm pretty sure you'll not be forgiven forever or ever. And I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure it's not that bad. Okay, I've told this before, but I had somebody come into my office once, and they're just, tears, and just, they were scared and everything else. And I said, what's wrong? Randy, I need you because I think I've sinned against the Holy Spirit. What? Yeah, I think I did something against the Holy Spirit, and I didn't want to do it against him. I said, you didn't commit the unpardonable sin. They said, how do you know? It's kind of like, you're the pastor, but do you know something? I don't know. I said, you didn't. They said, how do you know? I said, because you're worried about it. You care about the Holy Spirit, and you care about the Lord. And if you had done that, sinned against him, you wouldn't care at all. It's the unpardonable sin. You wouldn't care anything about God. You'd go, I hate God, I've had that too. Some of you are laughing, and you're not thinking that I'm thinking about you. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right. So, let's consider what God said to Abraham. Abraham chose his father. Terah chose Lot because he loved Haran so much. Therefore, Abraham chose Lot because he's learning from his father. So he already messed up here, but he's taking the next step because he still hasn't left his father and mother and gone on. Okay. So, therefore, Abraham chose Lot, but something new is added. When in the land, Abraham chooses Ishmael. He turns down the son God wants and begs for the one he wants, the one that he wants, and he begs to the face of God. You want to hear the scriptures? This is Genesis 17, 15 through 18. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 99 years old, barren? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Not just before me. Okay, are you starting to get the picture now that these, and most of you know somewhat of the scriptures that relates to the other ones. So this is, it is a bombshell. It's like, oh my God. You know, Randy, you're taking away all of the good people. There's not going to be any left but the son. Yeah, I'm tricky too. So is the Holy Spirit. All right. So, God's word through Stephen. Okay, so I'm going to read that last thing and then this. And Abram said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. This is God's word through Stephen. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Isn't this powerful stuff? It's like an eye-opener for me. Golly. Okay, and then Acts, that was Acts 7:51. This is Acts 7:55. But he, this is Stephen. Okay, so I'm going to parallel the Holy Spirit. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. This is just a few verses forward. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, not resisting him, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Amen. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit chooses Jesus, chooses that son every time.
Praise God.
Every time. He never will fail. He's not going to go. He's not going to do what Abraham did. He's not going to do what Isaac did. He's not going to do what Jacob. He's not going to do it all the way down to David. He's not going to do what David. I ain't joking. Because he brings up David. And he brings it up, brings the why. All right. So, God chose the right seed long before Jesus was born. Remember, I started this by saying he has a son in his heart. He does. And you're not going to trick him. You can, you know, I mean, when I was first visiting the Bible school I went to, I tricked somebody once. It was my first entrance into that Bible school. It had a long, long hall. I came through this door. The sun was over there behind me, and a worker in the Bible school was down there mopping the floor and stuff like that. And I was a Jesus freak, long hair, see-through, puffy sleeve shirt, wearing knee-high or moccasins. And when he looked up, he thought I was Jesus. Because the light was like, oh, and he ran down that hall. And when he got to, just before he got to me, he realized it wasn't Jesus. So he slid on his knees up to me, pulled his hat off and said, pray for me, I need Jesus. I said, so do I, brother. I slammed my hand. Only time anybody's ever thought I was Jesus. Everybody pretty much knows me. That's the vessel right there. That's Randy the vessel. All right, so where are we at? Wow, we're doing pretty good, although we're not getting out of Abraham. Let me see if I can. Okay, Abraham put his earthly father above his heavenly, but the result of that failure was that he didn't enter the land when God asked him to. Is that important? Timing is important. I'll skip that part. And then Acts 7, 5 through 7, and he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot. Yea, he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. So God's faithful. He's going to give it to him. to his child, his son, before he has one. Even if Abraham failed. So, but the son that he gives is the son. It's the son. There are lessons to be learned here. Major lessons to be learned here. Okay. Well, actually, my next part. What time is that? So I got how much time? 8 minutes. Well, the problem is now I'm getting to Isaac in our study here. Well, maybe I can pull this off a little bit. I think I'm just going to read you a little bit and then we'll stop on Isaac. Okay. So, Isaac went to Bible school here. Did you know that? And we loved him. We do. We love him. Then Stephen says about Abraham, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob. So we got to deal with Isaac first, but then it brings up Jacob, his son, that he was father to. Okay? But before Isaac, Ishmael was conceived because of strife, right? That's Lot and that whole thing, strife. There was all this. I think we do a lot. We wonder why everything isn't fitting together, or why there isn't just this flow, or why that we're not just, you know, floating on the clouds with Jesus, or why is there strife? Why is there all this stuff? Well, first of all, the Lord uses all that. And I've been spending a lot of Sundays trying to show that there's purpose in all of that. But there's also a truth that, you know, we sow that strife. We can sow that strife. And even that, even if we sow that strife, God can still use it, by the way. Really? No, if you couldn't, we're all doomed. Doomed, I tell you. But we're not doomed. But we need to learn some lessons so that he's not having to rush to our situations. Oh, go help them over there. We're good over here. You know what I'm saying? Just be on his side a little more instead of always getting him on, trying to get him on our side. So Isaac, then Hagar takes Ishmael and leaves the land in order to make their own way. And there's more strife. See, when you start reading these stories, you go, man, these people were really self-willed. You know, and these are the rock stars of the Old Testament. Is that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? No, they don't even know what a rock star is. I'm kidding. Okay, so there's Hagar and Ishmael. What else is also missing from this statement that says Isaac begot Jacob? Stephen also leaves out a mention of Esau, but the same scenario of strife and division would happen between the twin grandsons of Abraham. Glad it didn't say of Randy. God would choose one. God would choose one for his own. Right? Twins, but God in this story, God is going to choose one for his own. Jacob would become the son of the father's love, and Esau would bring about strife. What was the result of that? Jacob would not inherit the land, but would have to leave while Esau remained there as possessor. And see, that's why I said we're crisscrossing with the land. And I'd like to go back and then start showing you the land picture beside now the son's one that we're going at. So the whole story, you know, trying to make this short, but the whole story is that Isaac, the one that Abraham is saying, no, I don't want him. I want Ishmael. He grows up and he has kids, twins. And it's Jacob and Esau. And he, and I probably got it in my notes here, but he likes Esau as the son. Yeah. You can tell from Stephen, this is a big pattern. It's crazy. Isaac wants Esau because guess what? Why would Isaac want him? Because he's a hunter. That is why. I didn't mold that together either. That's just a fact, Chad. because he's a hunter. Because he's manly. He's a manly man. Who knows what Haran was like, you know. Well, I want my son to be a manly man, you know. And Jacob just didn't seem like he was much of a manly man, you know. But it was God's choice. God's choice. And these fathers are not learning the lesson. They are wreaking havoc with where this thing is going. And what you say, well, where is it going? Well, it ends right here with this guy. Stephen busts it wide open and goes, this is the problem from the first one of us all the way through to you, and I know what y'all are going to do to me. Because that's what Esau wanted to do with Isaac, or Jacob. Wanted to kill him. That's why he ran and left the land. All right, so I guess I read that. Jacob would not inherit the land, but would have to leave while Esau remained there as possessor. Now, we'll get into it because he gets into it. He doesn't skip a beat. So just think, who is Jacob's sons? 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. The patriarchs, which are mentioned in Stephen's. Thank you. Are you loving this or is it scaring you too much? I mean, this is, and it ends wonderfully because it ends with the right son. Thank you, Stephen. Can you say thank you, Stephen? And thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Any thoughts? Anything somebody wants to say? You're just busting out? Come on up here, though.
A little bit of a question to you, Stephen.
Well,
following in the Lord, what you're sharing.
Sure.
But just along the lines of what you're sharing about this, the fathers resisting the Holy Spirit and being stiff-necked and choosing the wrong son, does that have the same, is that like of the same thing as being of that other generation? Like the generation of vipers, or being of that generation? Because you shared on the generation, and there's just something in the nature of the generation that's going to resist the son. And we're born into that generation, you know, and we're crucified.
And Stephen will deal with it.
So it's a generation. And so when I'll say it this way, there's two ways I can resist or be stiff-necked and resist the Holy Spirit. I can persecute the Son in me when the Spirit's trying to land on the Son, and I'm like, no, I want my way.
Right.
That is this.
Amen.
But I can also do it if the Spirit's landing on the Son and somebody around me.
That's right.
And I don't like that because flesh always wants to be the one that's chosen, right? So
right.
So then there's a reason to resist that person because the Spirit's like, so, and that's all of that is of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the Lord continued to honor these guys, the ones that we're dealing with now, the failures, the father failures, you know. Somebody said that I have a dad bod, and I said, it's a father figure. Anyway. So, I don't know why I do these things. This generation thing is true. We dealt with it in another class too. Jonah, yeah. Tried to bring it out. It is a true thing. And I think that was kind of, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure that's how Stephen came upon this, was in relationship to the generation of it. Because it's so widespread, you know, how would you might see that in Abraham and then maybe over here in Jacob doing something there, but to put that together, it would take a generation kind of thought process. And I really think that's exactly what it did, because he nailed it all the way down. Yeah. Anybody else? Question or thought or? Okay. Let's have it.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. I was just thinking, I felt like the Holy Spirit just dropped this. It was just that way, whatever, to not resist him. It's just like Mary, who was overshadowed with him. Like, she was so not resistant that she submitted to him and actually brought him to Christ. Like, that's how not to resist him. I don't know, I just thought that was great.
Yeah, me too, except my mind runs to weird places, so I'm not going to talk. But, yeah, I mean, she brought forth the seed, folks, the only seed that ever counted. You say, well, what about me? Or what about, you know, if you're born again, you're of that seed. If you're born again, you're in him. You know, if we'd quit worrying about ourselves and just say, well, you know, I'm in Christ and Christ in me, and, you know, I mean, I used to make students do this, but I did it when I was in Bible school. People come up and go, how you doing? I'd say, well, I'm in Christ. I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm son of God. I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself? And they go, whoa, you know, because all of that's true. And I decided not to make it a doctrine, but to make it how I approach daily life, so that I could remind myself. Because I didn't have anybody else coming up saying it, so I said, okay, I'll just keep saying it. So you can use that. Okay? All right. Well, let's pray then. Somebody want to pray? How about that? Okay, Mallory wants to pray, but I want to say a word to my good friend Mike Gentry. Hi, Mike. You know, Mike, you're going to need to really brush up on all of the folk music and stuff when we get to Ireland, because we're going to be jamming. Yeah, I knew you'd be ready. I won't be. I can't play. These fingers don't move like they used to. All right, Mallory, would you pray?
Lord, thank you so much for putting us in the only Son that matters, Lord, and that we are in him and of him now. But Lord, I know that as I'm hearing the word go forth, that there is that other generation that does work in me. But Lord, I want to learn your cross and your way to make that switch and to only want the Son that you want, Lord. And I ask that as the word is going forth, you would help each and every one of us to receive it and have clarity of view in our heart, Lord, for the division to come, that everything else has to give way before the Son.
Amen.
Lord, and may we bow before the Son and just get rid of our own sons, Lord, amen, and the things that we want. And I ask for me and for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're dismissed. God bless you.